Hey, good morning. My name is Gideon Nash, and I'm so excited this day to, as it were, speak from the Word of God to you and to share with you the message of Christmas. Amen. Before we start today, I want you to pull out your Bible, and we'll be looking into it. Every now and then, it might be on the phone. Once upon a time, it was all black and red in between, and then the color started changing, and then translation started changing, become a bit more. It used to be, yea, I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But now he said, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. So things are changing. Unchanging God, but in a changing world. So it's exciting. And so if you have it on your phone or your iPad or whatever it is, you can read with me. I'm reading from John chapter 1, verse 1 to 18. John chapter 1, verse 1 to 18. John is the fourth book of the New Testament, right? So, it says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of human's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is the closest relationship with the Father, has made with him." Amen. I'm reading from this young man, John. The writing says John, right? And I'm thinking he was a follower of Jesus Christ. And what he had seen, what he had known, what has been revealed to him, what he has believed and what has touched his heart is what he put down in writing. And for us as Christians or Christ followers, this is our holy book. What we believe in, what we passionately believe that is the Word of God, and what when we follow and we guide, when we follow it and we let it guide our lives, it brings us closer to God. So today, I'm here to share a message, a Christmas message with you, which says, "I will say yes, Lord." Yes, you can put your phone on silent, unless you're in an emergency, which should be on silent. Thank you. So, what are we saying? I will say yes, Lord. Shall we repeat that? I will say yes, Lord. One more time.
I will say yes.
Another time. I will say yes, Lord. You see, that gets you involved in it, right? Now, what am I saying? Today's message is about a God of grace. The God who speaks. The God who acts. The God who listens. The God whose love for his people led him to sacrifice his only son, Jesus Christ, to make up for the sins of humanity. He's not a God who wants to dictate the pace of your life and tell you how to live your life, but one who longs for a relationship with you. For that reason, he came to make his dwelling place among humans. That's what Christmas is about. God coming to make his dwelling place among humans. Today, our message is to help us. Our message is to help us to encounter not only the story of a humankind, but also the story of God who is and who is to come and who has done so much for you and me. Sometimes we do not recognize that because when we go to bed and sleep, it's automatic. We wake up, it's automatic. And not everybody goes to sleep and even sleeps. And not everybody goes to sleep and wakes up. Is that real? Yes. Exactly. You see, for that reason, we don't even see it. Oh, it's bedtime, it's wake up time. But there is somebody behind it who organized these things to happen the way it does. And for that reason, we are grateful to God. Hallelujah. So we are talking about a God who today is making, and I am making that unrelenting claim that that loving God has sought you and provided a way of rescue for you. And for you to enter into that relationship that we are talking about. So for that reason, I hope you can see the colors, right? If a problem, you can turn this light off so that it can come. I thought to bring a little bit of Christmas color in it, but probably I haven't done so well. But bear with me if you can see it. You can turn the light off on the stage off, and that'll be okay. Probably to help out a little bit. Thank you so much. Now, some of the song that we've been saying is, we've been using the word incarnate. And I'm thinking, that is a very big word, isn't it? I don't know when they invented it and why they invented it and who were the English people around who could understand it. But then for a simple language, we say God incarnate means that the Almighty God, the Holy God, is here with us in human form. And that human form is Jesus Christ. God incarnate means that God loves us so much. God wanted to rescue hurting people. God wanted to heal people. God wanted to rescue people who are in pain, who are sick, who are going through failures, and who are going through disappointment, who are going through all sort of happiness and joy. God wanted to identify with us. And therefore, for him to identify with us, he had to come to our level so that we can actually reach him. That is God incarnate. Hallelujah. God incarnate. So, if we say God incarnate, then we are also saying that the writer of this passage that we read, Apostle John, is making a bold claim that Jesus Christ is God on earth. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. And everything that we see around us, creation as it were, the universe as we see it, came into existence. And nothing that we see here came into existence without him, who is God, who made him. And that is something that we believe. That is Apostle John making that, as a Christ follower, making that bold, message or declaration that he is God on us, on earth. So this Christmas, when we are talking about Christmas, we are talking about God reminding us that he is pursuing us for that relationship. He wants you and me to have that relationship because he wants to rescue hurting people. He wants to rescue people who are in pain. He wants to rescue people who are sick. He wants to rescue people who are actually in all sort of disappointment. He also wants to come alongside those who are rejoicing and rejoice with them. God is interested in your story, and God wants to you to join with him to celebrate and be happy. That's why Christmas time we are so happy, aren't we? Well, quite a lot of people are happy, and some too are not so much. But God said, I am here to be with you, even in your pain. God is here with us. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So God is with us. Did I see anyone from Trinidad here? Anyone in Tobago or something like that? Yeah. Okay. I give up. So, let me press on. So, the Apostle John is making this statement that God incarnated, God is with us. And God's spokesperson called Isaiah, he also said that God will send, as it were, a baby to be born. And he will come as God's representative. And that baby is actually God on earth. And his name is going to be called Emmanuel. And this was about 700 years before Jesus Christ was born. So the birth of Jesus Christ was prophesied. That means God's spokesperson talked about it 700 years before Jesus Christ was born, that a virgin shall become pregnant, and that virgin will have a baby, and that baby will be by the Holy Spirit, and that baby will be born, and the baby's name is going to be called Emmanuel, and he is going to be God's promised Messiah. That means that the one who will save the people that God has come to redeem and identify from their sins. He is the one who is coming to say, you know what? Sometimes you just blow it, like I do sometimes. But you know what? I just want you to know that I still love you. And there's a way of escape for you. If you stretch forth your hand and say, God, I am ever so sorry. I want to actually for you to forgive me. And I want to accept the leadership of Jesus Christ. And he will come. And he will come alongside you. Put his arm around you. You may not feel it, but you have that confident assurance that he is with you. And he's going to forgive you. And he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he's going to journey with you. Hallelujah. So this Christmas is about God reminding us that he is calling us for a relationship. Even though you might have blown it, even though sometimes someone will say, okay, I'm never a sinner. But the reality is that if you wake up in the morning and God is not in your agenda, then you have disobeyed him, and therefore you have ignored him, and therefore you have erred and sinned against God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because I cannot imagine that you go to work and you earn a wage and you go in and your manager is sitting down and then you just walk past the person and then go and sit down because you have to come and do your work. I'm not going to talk to you, manager, for the whole day, and I'm going to do my own thing. It doesn't happen that way. You understand that? Exactly. You're a manager, so you say yes. Thank you. It doesn't happen that way. You human beings are born to be in relationship with each other. And God says that I want to have a relationship with you. And also, not only is the prophet Isaiah talking, but Jesus' birthplace was also forecasted by a prophet called Micah. Anyone heard of his name before? Yeah, a few of you. There's a prophet, a spokesperson. Prophet means a spokesperson of God. Someone who speaks as God gives them utterance, or as God tells them to, or they speak what God wants his people to hear. And therefore, this man called Micah, about 500 years before Jesus Christ was born, he said, look, now you Bethlehem, you're the smallest city on earth, or smallest city at the time, among the tribes of Israel. But out of you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, out of you will come a savior of God's people. Hallelujah. out of you will be born a Savior. So God is interested. God foresaw what is going to happen. So Jesus Christ is not just, an accident, as it were. Christmas is not something that we just hope it comes. And these days, in this part of the world, we say Christmas is only for the children. Who told you that? Christmas is for the children, but for our daughter and for everyone who want to receive his forgiveness and who want to be, and who want the leadership of Jesus Christ over his life. So if it is important enough for God to prophesy or for forecast or for Micah to speak to the world at the time that in 500 years' time something is going to happen. If you ask me to tell you what is going to happen in 10 years' time, I can't. And I can assure you, not many people in this world can do that. But 500 years before then, somebody spoke. And the person even said exactly what the event is going to happen, exactly where the event is going to happen. And said, Bethlehem in Judea, Jesus Christ, the Lord's Messiah, is going to be born. This makes it a very important thing that you and me need to take note of it and should not just reduce Christmas to mince pies. You understand that? You see, Christmas is more than mince pie. It's more than the drink and the food and visiting the families and everything. It's all part of a rebuilding relationship. But it's about God here on this earth. Now, let us examine the evidence of my argument this morning. The evidence that his birth was unusual and spectacular as well. Now, why do we say that? There was a man from the tribe of David called Joseph, right? And this man was engaged to be married to a lady called Mary. And then suddenly, he found the lady to be with a child. Scratch head. And he'd be wondering, what happened? And being a man who has integrity and good reputation, he decided he doesn't want to humiliate that woman in public. So he'll quietly go and then divorce him. It's just like, once upon a time, I hear the history, someone told me, I don't know how true it is, but it could well be true. In some part of the world, when you marry a girl, they take a dowry, right? Does that sound like your culture? You see, and when they take the dowry, when they know that the girl is a hospital and really clever, they don't spend the money. They keep it right at the top of the door, right? In case you bring her back, and then they have to give you back your dowry. Did you get that story? Exactly. So, what am I saying? Let me move on fast forward. What I'm trying to say is that he wanted to divorce that woman quietly without nobody knowing. And then an angel of the Lord came to him. This actually, you can find it in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through to 23. And he, Joseph, said, you know what, I'm going to divorce him quietly. And an angel of the Lord came to him and said, you know, Joseph, in a dream, do not divorce this young lady, for what she is carrying is of God and is by the Holy Spirit. That is unusual, isn't that right? You wake up and your wife is pregnant and it says by the Holy Spirit. You ever heard this before? Exactly. So that was unusual. But then God is interested in unusual things, isn't it? Things which are not usual is God's specialties. Because when God does things like that, that means something good is going to come out of it. To your credit, to your advantage. God has sent Jesus Christ. It's unusual for people to know that Christmas is not about just mince pie, but it's about Jesus. But then God has decided that this is going to be a good thing for you, a good thing for the world, a good thing for me. And therefore, we should embrace it. And so Joseph, heard and said, so what do I do? He said, look, that baby is going to be born. A son is going to be born. And that son, his name is going to be called Jesus. Because he'll be the savior of his people from their sins. How specific would that be? We name our kids, but somebody names somebody for you. That is awesome. And that's powerful. So he woke up. And when he woke up, he decided to obey the angel and did exactly that and took Mary to be his wife. How spectacular was that? And when you look at Luke chapter 2, when the baby was born, the Bible said there was a census to be taken, right? To check that everybody is British and not a European. Hey, I'm just trying to crack a joke, right? Exactly. So, they did a census and make sure that we are British, we don't relate to nobody, and everybody that is in the book is actually from Judah. Okay, so, but it didn't work out the way it's supposed to work out. So after the census, during the census time, Joseph and the wife came in heavily pregnant, like my sister Nakri is, and they just walked in. And when they walked in, they couldn't find anywhere to live. There was no bed and breakfast, there was no hotel, so they check in at a manger. That's the only place that they could find. Probably free accommodation, right? So they check in, and kind of an open space. But they hang on in there with their blankets. And then, suddenly, in the fields around, there were shepherds. Suddenly, there were lights in the skies, glittering like you see here, brighter than that. Suddenly, there were sounds. Suddenly, there were unusual phenomena. Call it comet. Call it some cosmic display. Fireworks, as it were. And then an angel appeared to these shepherds and said, "Go to Bethlehem, for there is born someone in a manger, and that person is the Lord's Messiah, and that person is the Savior of the world, and that person, you need to know him, for he is going to be king of the Jews." It doesn't mean that the Jews, as we see today, Jews in the context that people who decided to accept God's forgiveness and accept the leadership that God is going to give them and have a relationship with him, these people, God is going to be their king. Hallelujah. So, that is the context in which it was spoken. So, in that sense, these two instances, these two evidences, which is a proper historical account of the fact that we know it, is to tell us that Jesus Christ was born. Right. I mean, some people argue that he wasn't born on the 25th of December. The answer is true. In case I spoil your Christmas for you. Right. He wasn't born on the 25th of December. He would have been born any time between the 23rd of January up to the 21st of March. In between there, we're not absolutely sure which date he was born. Just for historical argument, in case you say, "Oh, this guy is talking about evidence, but he's got it wrong." The 25th December was actually a pagan worship date. Yes? Are you not going to celebrate Christmas anymore? You bring your food to my house. Right. The 25th of December was a pagan worship day. Constantine, presumably the first Roman emperor who became a Christian, at the time was worshiping a sun god, right? Like a Sunday, because it was true that a sun god day is Sunday, right? Let me move quickly back to the Christmas. He was worshiping the god who really, for him, was very, very important. The god's birthday is 25th of December. So now that he's become a Christian, say, "You know what, I don't want this God anymore. Now I want to make sure that this day that I used to celebrate my God is going to be celebrate a different God that I have come to follow, and that God is Jesus." Are you with me? So that's why the birthday changed. So sometimes you can change bad things and put good things in the place. You see, it doesn't make no difference. So that's why we have 25th of December. A little bit about history. So let's move on. So it was a spectacular time. Also, magi from the east were looking for him and to worship him. You see, these magi were either they come from a scientific community, astronomers, or sometimes from the people who are doctors, or probably accountants, recorders, or historians, or sometimes even from royalty. They came from the East. You see, at the time, the East, which is the Persian Empire, that's where knowledge and power was. So they came from the East. And even the Chinese recorded it in their history that around the time that these people moved, a comet or a star was seen that moved from the East. And these magi followed the star because it tells you that there's somebody important going to be born. And that person is going to shape the history of the world. That person is going to stand, and if you get to know him, I want to be in with him. So these people wanted to be in there with him. So if there's somebody very important going to be born, then they might better take a gift and take it so that they can give to that person. You see, it's not bribe, but it's to say that, hey, I'm your friend. So I want to be in with you. Right. How many magi? Try again. Thank you. Smart guy somewhere. They didn't tell how many magi. They gave three gifts. They said they gave gifts of gold, gifts of myrrh, gifts of frankincense. It could be plenty. So you see, walk through the Bible coming to you. So here we are. There were no three magi. There were magi. So there could be two, there could be more, there could be plenty. And I can imagine that such, if it's such an important person is going to be born, a whole lot of people will be going. They become a little bit provocative. That we elected a president in the United States of America, right? And everybody wanted to be in with him. They hated him, but now they want to be in with him because they want to oppose, right? So that is it. Even in our country, as soon as, I mean, we elected, I mean, she wasn't elected, but as soon as Theresa May became prime minister, you see, all the people wanted to be friends, right? Exactly. So you want to be friends with somebody who is important. So they saw his star. That star denotes someone important, someone who shaped history, and therefore they wanted to go and see him. And they wanted to go and pay homage to him. They wanted to go and show their respect. They wanted to go and show their friendship. They wanted to say that, hey, I want to hang around with you. I want to be with you. And that is why these people traveled from the East. And this is also a historical fact. The evidence, they came. And these very important people from the East, they came and they worshipped him. Hallelujah. Because when they came, they said, look, where is he who is born? King of the Jews. We have seen his star from the East, and we have followed him, and we have come to worship him. But there's one person who was not prepared. There was a guy who was a king in the area of Judea, and his name was King Herod. He was disturbed at the news of the birth of Jesus Christ. He was disturbed because he remembered that this is what has been written. When you go to chapter 5 of Micah, verse 2, or you come back to Matthew chapter 2, verse 5 said that this was it that was written, that out of you, Judea, out of Bethlehem, the least of all the tribes, a man is going to be born and he's going to be the Messiah of his people. But then Herod, why was he disturbed? Because he was not prepared. Why wasn't he prepared? Because he knew that the coming of Jesus Christ also means that the judgment of God is going to follow. Hallelujah. He knew that the coming of Jesus Christ means that he's going to convict people of sin. You see, sometimes the reason why people said, I don't want Jesus Christ, because once they know Jesus Christ, they have to abide by the word of God. And the word of God will always show you up for who you are. But it's for your good, so that you can make adjustment. Did you get that? It shows you up to give you an opportunity. What a God is this? Because when we're growing up, sometimes if our parents will show us up this day, they don't do it no more by giving a little whip. It is not to what? To make you, it's probably they just want you to have some pain. Even though the idea is that at the end of the day, they want you to change, I think the fundamental principle is to really inflict pain on you. Is that true? Yes or no? Yes. Well, you don't look like my mother. My mother wants to whip you so that you can feel the pain. When you feel the pain, next time you don't do it. But please don't go and do it because you go to prison in this country. So what am I saying? He was disturbed. So a lot of people, even on our street, don't want Jesus Christ because that they will be held to account about their behavior, their character, the things that they do. And for that reason, I don't want, I'm not religious. Who told that they're not religious? They read their stars. And if they see somebody who wants to read their palms, they go in there. Isn't that religion? They believe in some musicians so much that they wake up with them, they go to bed with them, and they sleep with them. Isn't that religion? They worship them. Some even love politics to the point that you can't, they just hate their neighbor who doesn't support the same party as them. Isn't that religion? Exactly. Oh, for some, you didn't go to the same school with them, and therefore they don't even like you, or your car doesn't look as good as theirs. You're spoiling their neighborhood. Isn't that religion? Hallelujah. My neighbors wouldn't dare to get me out of that place. Right. Well, Brahman is going to buy me a new car. No pressure, right? Right. So, King Herod was disturbed because of the news that Jesus Christ was born. And also he was disturbed for the fact that another king has been born. And he is the king. He's a self-appointed king. No one appointed him king. He was a self-appointed king. And therefore, to hear that the king of the Jews is coming, that was disturbing enough. So he said, go and look for him. And when you find him, let me know. Bring me a word that I too may worship him. Lie, he wanted to kill him. You see, so when people are disturbed by Jesus Christ, they want to kill that idea of Christmas. They want to kill. That's why the Christmas is now shopping. It's now eating. It's now drinking. It's now visiting family members. It's now about nothing but fanfare, lights, and other things. But thank God for the light because Jesus Christ came as the light of the world, isn't it? He came to lighten our darkness. He came to bring something substantial, something new. Jesus claimed to be the light of the world. In John chapter 8, when he was talking to the religious leaders and the scribes and those people who were following him, he said, look, I want you to hear this. I am the light of the world, and anyone who follows me will see the light of life and will never walk in darkness. It doesn't mean that you never have no problems. You will surely have problems. It doesn't mean that you will not have challenges. Surely you have challenges. But along that line, somebody will come alongside you and help you out. And someone will come alongside you to help you navigate those treacherous moments so at the end of the day, you come out and you look good. You will come out and you have peace about it. You will come out and in most cases, you will be triumphant about it. Hallelujah. He said, I am the light of the world. So today, if we have Christmas lights, we go to Oxford Circus and we're switching on the light. We have Christmas tree there. And some of you have Christmas trees in your home. Yes, show by hand. You are not sinners. You are good people. Hallelujah. Yes, now they have raised their hands. It's a good thing to have Christmas tree in your house. Literally, you are saying, look, I believe that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And I'm lighting this light for God to be in my home. So this Christmas, make Jesus Christ the light of your home. Make sure he lightens the darkness in your home. You see, it doesn't mean that you are in some part of the world as they don't see light. But you want God to bring light in your home. Bring something good news into your home. And he made that claim, Jesus Christ. He made that claim himself. The religious leaders couldn't cope with the claim that Jesus existed before Abraham. He was talking to the people. And if you have your Bible, turn to me with me to John chapter 8, verse 51. John chapter 8. I thought to read this with you. Right, John chapter 8, verse 51. What does he say? He said, truly, truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death. That was a radical statement to say. Everybody dies. But Jesus says that whoever believes my word and obeys them will never see death. It literally means that you will die physically, but there is a living hope for you. And a living hope for you is that God has destined you for eternity. That if you are Christ's follower, then you will live forever. You will enjoy God forever. All your shortcomings will fall apart. And your good comings, if they're good English, will be your portion. And therefore, you will stand before God day by day. And you will never walk in darkness. That is also in the Bible, you know, in Revelation chapter 21. That is there. Then let's move on. Fast forward to verse 56. It said, your father rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. Why was Jesus making this statement? Because the things that he was saying were so radical that people couldn't cope with it. They were shocked that a man who was in his 30s making such astonishing claims. And these were learned people. These were people of power, people of influence, people who knew what they were talking about. And this man was saying things that they couldn't imagine where he learned them from, but yet they were true because they know what he was saying was true. But what even really shocked them is that he went on and they said, verse 57, you are not yet 50 years old. Then they said to him, and you have seen Abraham? And he said, truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was, I am. At this, they pick up stones to stone him. But Jesus hid himself and slipped away from the temple, from the temple grounds. They started to stone him because he told them that he had existed before Abraham. And Abraham is a great prophet for the people. He's a great leader for the people. And everybody looked to him as their father at the time because he was someone who was called by God. And for history, it is believed that he is the father of the Arabs and is the father of the Jews and is the father of all Christians for historical records. So he was highly regarded. And here was this man coming and said, before he was, I am. And Abraham even rejoiced at my day. This is the evidence that we are talking about. And Jesus making that bold claim that he was there before him. So Christmas is not just something that we are just, celebrating, but we are celebrating God here on this earth. Because the Ancient of Days, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega can be attributed to only, Yahweh, our God. And Jesus Christ is making that claim that he was that guy. So he's telling us that Christmas is about God here on this earth. Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. That is the argument that he was giving. And the religious leaders also couldn't stomach. They claimed that Jesus is God on earth. Let's examine this again in John chapter 10, verse 30 to 33. Let's see exactly how they got it. You see. Right. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Again, his Jewish opponents pick up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to him, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? And they answered, we are not stoning you for any good works, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Did you get that? This is from our holy book, brothers and sisters, that a mere man claimed to be God. So if you are sitting here and this does not make sense to you, this is what our holy book tells us, that it is inspired by God, it's inspired by his spirit, and that is what all Christ's followers, live by. And he is saying that Jesus Christ said, I am God on earth. That's the only way he could tie up the claim that before Abraham was, he existed. And Abraham rejoiced to see his day. Time will not permit me to talk you through the Bible to prove exactly how Abraham rejoiced to see the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus was rejected by his own people and many more. Twice we've seen that they pick up stones to stone him. And these were his people. Just like talking to your family of good friends about Jesus, and then they become your friends no more. Because they don't want to hear it. They may not physically pick up a stone and stone you because there are not many stones around in England. The builders have taken them all. But then, for argument's sake, they took up stones. If you've been to Israel before, I mean, some of you in this church have known that I've organized a tour to Israel some time back, and those who went saw that there were so many stones, right? Or if you've been in the Middle East, you know that. And if you want to go to Israel again, let me know, and I will tell you how to do it easy. So, Jesus was rejected by his own. And John, the writer, said that he came to his own. John chapter 1, verse 9 to 11. And they did not recognize him. They did not receive him. He was rejected by his own. They did not give him a chance. And the prophet Isaiah, chapter 53, verse 3, says that, look, and the man, he's a man without esteem. They despise him. They use the word, they despised him. People who despised him. And that was 700 years before Jesus was born. They said he will come and people will despise him. You, a mere man who's not even 50 years old, and you claim to know Abraham, we despise you. We can't take what you are saying. We will stone you. So I want you to know that if you go out there and you're trying to talk to your parents or your loved ones about Jesus and they are despising you, don't be worried. You haven't done that for 700 years yet. Keep pressing on. And one day they will come to faith in Jesus Christ. And of course, these people despise him to the point that they crucified him. When Pilate said, look, you have a festival that somebody needs to be released for you at some point, like Christmas, so that you can celebrate. Who should we release? Who should we forgive all their trespasses and release that person to you? And they said, shall I release to you Jesus, the King of the Jews? You know what they said? No, away with him. Release for us Barabbas. How many times that Christmas comes and we actually want to release the mince pies, we want to release the turkey, we want to release the Christmas puddings, we want to release the drinks, but instead of Jesus Christ, we reject. Have you thought about that? We release everything else for the celebration. But the person that we need to release into our lives, into our home, who is Jesus Christ, God on earth, to be alongside us and to walk alongside us and to help us, we walk away from him. Even when he was being crucified by the prison that he was being crucified, people were actually selling his clothes. They were mocking him. They were piercing him. They were spitting at him. They were actually hurling insult at him. Even the bad guys who were hung around him, some of them were even insulting him. And these are historical facts, my brothers and sisters. That's what Christmas is about. He became the Savior, the forgiver of sins of the world. Because Matthew 1 tells us that Joseph, please go and take this woman for your wife. And she's going to have a son by the Holy Spirit and call his name Jesus. He will be called because he's going to be the Savior of his people from their sins. It was so explicit, you cannot miss it. He's going to be the Savior of his people from their sins. And of course, when you read John chapter 3, listen to what he says. He says that, look, just as Moses lifted the serpent on the wilderness. See, when the people of Israel were on the wilderness, they were really disobeying God big time. And some serpents, snakes from nowhere started biting them, poisonous ones, and they were dying. And then they began to raise up their eyes onto a pole that they fashioned a serpent, as it were, on it. Meaning the sin was nailed to that pole. Just as Jesus Christ nailed our sins to the cross. And anyone who lifted up his eye and saw that pole was healed and lived. So John chapter 1 verse 12 to 13 said, as many as believe in him, who receive him, he gave them the power, the right, the privilege to become the sons of God. People not only born of human flesh, human blood, and human descent, but they'll be born of God. So that means there's a new birth. Like our choruses are saying, there's going to be a new birth. And this new birth is a spiritual birth. It's a birth that you are the same person. You don't change color. You don't change height or image or size or weight. But what happens is that God begins to change your character from grace to grace. God begins to change your thinking from grace to grace. God begins to change your heart from grace to grace so that you will actually accommodate God in your life, not as a burden, but as a helper for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I thought that you should know that Prophet Isaiah wrote and the Prophet Malachi wrote. Isaiah wrote this before the people of God, as a result of their disobedience, God punished, and some were never seen again before the Assyrians came to take away the northern kingdom, and the whole 10 tribes got lost. But then also, during the time of Malachi, they had gone into exile in Babylon and come through Persia after being taken over. And there were 770 years punishment for still disobeying God and not connecting with God and just ignoring God for the things that he has asked them to do. And these two prophets actually had a witness. As I said, a time will come that a guy is going to be born. In the wilderness, there will be a voice crying, make way for God. Open your heart for God. Christmas is to open your heart for God and accept him as your Lord and Savior, to make him your forgiver of your sins and your wrongdoings and your disobedience and make him your leader. That is what it is about. That's what it is about. And when you go to Malachi chapter 3 verse 1, he said, now I want you to know that I'm going to send someone, a witness, before the man comes. That was 400 years before Jesus Christ was born. I'm going to give you a witness. And that witness is coming to be a forerunner. And John the Baptist said, look, I am not the Messiah. I came as a forerunner to the one who is to come and who is Jesus Christ. So the birth of Jesus Christ is a prophetic thing. It's a biblical thing. It's a historical fact. And I'm giving you dates to tell you that these things are recorded in our history. Not only in English history, it's in world history. That these things are true. And look, the writer said, this John is coming to be an incredible witness to who Jesus Christ is. That he is the light of the world. So, I'm finishing this to ask you, what worldview do you have about Jesus Christ? A helpless baby in a manger or something else? For some of us, we look at this image here. I mean, I don't know if your light can spot on it. This beautiful artwork made by some of our people in our church. Amazing creative people. Is it coming on? If you spot it on there. But never mind. If it doesn't, we can move on. So, what we trying to say, zoom it forward a little bit for them to see that. Zoom it forward. Thank you. Okay. Can you see the flashing and everything? That's beautiful, isn't it? You see, you don't see it until you see it there. Yeah, it's as if some life in there. It's incredible and amazing thing. And I just want you to know that at that point, people were thinking about a helpless babe. But the shepherd, you can zoom it out for them to see the shepherd to the left, right? The shepherd, you can see their staff. Thank you. The shepherds were actually coming to worship him. And to the right, we're talking about the magi over there. They also come in to worship him. And look at the life in there. That is incredible witness, right? So this is what we are saying about Jesus Christ, that he is the Anglican. Switch me back to my PowerPoint. This is what we are saying, that Jesus Christ really is not just a helpless baby, but is the King of Kings. You know what? He was not born in a palace. He was born in a manger so that the shepherds could access him, so that the magi could access him, so that every human being and every person can have access to God. So they don't have to go through no vicar or nobody, somebody in a very small tent or in a very dungeon somewhere to see him. That he is open for anyone who wants to actually ask for his forgiveness and become a Christ follower. And therefore, Isaiah saw a vision of him, and he saw angels and angels literally bound before Jesus Christ, hundreds of years before he was born. And he spoke about it. That changed Isaiah's life. And of course, the Apostle John on the island of Patmos, he also saw a vision of God and a vision of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, they saw the trail of his robe fills the place. His hair was like wool. And out of mouth come fire. And incredible things that is so frightening. And I'm thinking, you know what? This Jesus Christ is a powerful being. He's not just a helpless babe that we have to go to the schools to see it on the stage. But he is somebody who can work on your behalf. He can destroy the works of the enemy. Who can destroy anything that stands in your way. And this Jesus Christ is the Lamb that was slain, who is still standing. And yet angels and myriads of angels come and fall before him. And they declare that you are the Lamb. You are the Lamb of God. You are God's substitute. That when we went away from you and we did not want a relationship with you, you sent something. You sent somebody, Jesus Christ, to come to be our substitute so that he can bridge the gap between man and God, so that we can walk to God through the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made. And that is that the heavenly vision that we have, that he is coming as a warrior one day. And when he comes as a warrior one day, he is coming to judge the world. He's coming to judge you, whether you've done right or you've done wrong. And whether you have done right, then you go to God. If you've done wrong, then you know where you're going to go. You're not going to go to God. You're going to go to hell. And hell is a real place of fire and a real place of torment. And I don't want you to be there. And I want you to be with Jesus Christ. And I pray that you will be with me, and we together, we're going to be with Jesus Christ and live forever. Hallelujah. So John said, "Behold the Lamb." You can come and take the stage, the lectern away. Stop it from here. So at this moment, I'm going to invite Creative Art to come to the stage. And as they come, just like John was talking, and the people remembered, and they said, "Where am I? I want to be a follower of Jesus. Baptize me." The same God today is asking you for a relationship. Will you listen to God this Christmas and say yes to him? So we have Creative Art to come on the stage.